morning. I want to apologize ahead of time. I'm on call this weekend at the hospital, and there's no way to silence my beeper, so if it goes off, I apologize ahead of time. So I'm not being rude. I'm just, I tried to look at a way to put it on vibrate. There's no way to do it. They want to make sure you hear their call. Okay, welcome to Jenkins this morning. If you haven't already, would you greet your neighbor? Good morning. Good morning. Okay, the announcements for the week are in the bulletin inserts. You can look at them to find out what's going on. Remember, Wednesday night dinner is at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. And if you would, if you're coming, would you put a reservation in so that Becky will know how much to cook for? And thank you for everything you've done. It's been delicious so far.
We're really having to just guess.
Yeah.
But we go ahead and guess big, and most of it's eating.
Oh, yeah. It'll always be eaten. If it's there, it'll be eaten. Okay, any prayer requests or praise reports? Becky?
We printed that on Wednesday.
Thank you, Becky. Patrick? Okay. Anyone else? I'm sorry.
There's a Ms. Merle Smith who passed away. Her family, her son and grandson are ministers, live in the Rockvale area. There's also a name on the under a paperclip there on the pulpit.
Becky Wheeler.
Becky Wheeler is Stacy Moses' mom. And Stacy asked us Thursday, I guess, to remember her.
Also, remember the Treese family, Jennifer and Skylar and Tyler. Jennifer lost her mom this week, wasn't it? Or was it last week? I'm kind of...
She's still...
Oh, she's still?
She's still holding on, isn't she?
Oh, okay.
I
I thought I got an email.
I haven't looked.
Okay, so I don't know. Her mother-in-law. Oh, okay, gotcha. I apologize. I just got that. I remembered getting an email about Jennifer, and I was thinking it was her mom. Okay. Also, there's a girl that I work with. Her name is I'm not going to say her name, but she's in a really abusive marriage, and she's leaving. Her last day at work is Thursday. She's leaving to go back to Georgia. Just keep her in your prayers. She's struggling. She's got a really hard time. She has two small children that she had sent to Georgia to live with her parents because she didn't want them to think the way she was being treated was the correct way to treat a woman. She's just struggling. She's just really been on my heart. So just keep lift her up in your prayers. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Big Betty misses a blue grandbaby in Idaho. Without permission to mention your situation, Miss Bobby is going to have a new knee tomorrow. Miss Bobby's mom.
A lot of new knees.
Okay, if there's no more, let's bow our heads for a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for worship. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin. It is responsive. Let us come to the house of the Lord in joy. Let us bow down in worship and praise. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. From God's fullness we have received grace upon grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Would you please stand? Thank you.
with me as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for your grace and for Jesus who came to reveal it to us. And Lord, we just stand humbly before you. Lord, thanking you for releasing us from the bondage of sin, like chains around us. And Jesus came to break them. And Lord, we have been able to come to you in faith, not of our own strength, even to come in faith, but because you gave us the faith to believe. Lord, use us this hour that we might bring glory to you in our meager way. And we thank you for the privilege of coming before you as your people, knowing that you're our God, and knowing that you love us. Bless every aspect of this experience in this place, at the table especially, we pray for your special blessing. Reveal yourself anew to us as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And you may be seated. Thank you.
The Apostles' Creed is found in your hymnals on page 17, and it's also on the screen. Could you join me in unison? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Time now to go before the Lord to confess our sin. Our call to confession comes from Job 11:14. It is found in your bulletin. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Our prayer of confession is in unison. It also comes from Job 11. Because the Savior had to be given to us, we know we need saving and cannot save ourselves. Because he has promised not to forsake us, we know how prone we are to forsake him. Because he calls to us day after day, we know how readily we are distracted. Hear us as we confess our manifest and our secret sins. Heal us of the wounds our sin has opened up in us. Help us resist the seductions of the tempter. Hasten the day when he shall appear before you without spot or blemish. This we ask, pleading the intercession of him who shed blood, whose risen life enlivens us anew. Amen. Our words of assurance come from John 3:18. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Our next hymn is At Calvary, page 338 in your hymnal. Let's sing the first, second, and last verses. 338, At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Oh, let's sing the third verse too.
Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. The love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Deuteronomy 16:17. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Will our ushers please come forward?
Let's bow for prayer. Lord, you have blessed us. You have blessed us materially. You have blessed us spiritually. You have blessed us for this life. And you have blessed us for eternity. Thank you. Lord, help us to be faithful stewards of that which you have entrusted to us for this life on this earth. And let us not be selfish in sharing the message of Jesus, who made it possible for all who would believe in him to have an eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
please be seated. We met Melanie and Steve and Teresa, would you come, and Roger, and two more. Oh, David. You'll come, David. And Louise. Thank you all. And then when you're looking that way, you overlook people. You can't see them. All right. The Lord's Supper. We remember His sacrifice of His death, but we also remember with this His birth, hopefully, and His resurrection and His ascension and His promise to return. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church concerning the correct way to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And that's what I'm going to read this morning. We have the account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke of the institution of the supper, and an account of Jesus sitting with the disciples. And as they remembered the release of their ancestors from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And every year, good, observant Jewish people, descendants of Abraham, would remember how God had guided Moses, and the people followed Moses somewhat, got them through the Red Sea, got them through the desert, slow journey, but he got them through there, into the Promised Land, even crossing over the Jordan River on dry land. And they established the land, and these people observed, they remembered, they reflected upon. And as Jesus and His disciples met together for, I guess it was their little private observant of the Passover meal, He instituted a way to remember Him, that those who trusted in Him, or we who trust in Him, how we have been so blessed, and our sins have been paid for by Him when He died on Calvary. So the Apostle Paul wrote about the observance of the supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll just begin with verse 23. For he says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So that until he comes reminds us that he has promised to come again and receive us unto himself, so that where he is, we shall be also. Who is welcome at the Lord's table? You may have been in a church where only the church members of that particular church were invited. In our system, the Reformed tradition, we invite all who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior to join us as we eat and drink. Because it's for you he died. It was not just for Presbyterians. It was not just for any other group that would close others out. We open the door. We're inclusive. And we invite all who trust in Jesus to remember with us as we remember with you if you happen to be a visitor from another fellowship. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for so much. We thank you for life. And we thank you for liberty, especially spiritual liberty. And we thank you for the privilege of a country that we can pursue happiness. Lord, so bless our pursuits that they might be honorable. It would be righteous happiness that we pursue after. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death. Because, well, Lord, we know that death could not hold him, but you raised him up after a time in the grave. And that he lived upon the earth. And Lord, we thank you that he ascended to heaven. And we thank you for that place that he is preparing for us, that he will come and call us to at his appointed time. Lord, we pray this morning for this bread. We remember the words from the scripture, how Jesus took the bread and blessed it. So Lord, bless this bread that's before us. Lord, we know that it's merely bread, but it's a representation, it's a symbolic of Jesus' body broken for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you were willing for him to, and he was willing to take our sin, our misdeeds, our transgressions, our rebellion, all that would separate us from you, and pay for those sin upon Calvary. And Lord, we thank you that we can know a new relationship through faith in Jesus' work on the cross. We thank you for the cup that Jesus was willing to shed his blood, give his life for us to redeem us. As Matthew records, for the remission of sin. Thank you that our sins are remitted, removed, and we can come before your throne humbly but boldly. Lord, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus and offer ourselves unto you in his name. Amen and amen. Body of Christ broken for me, and the body of Christ broken for you. Would you tell each person that you serve, remind them that this is the body of Christ broken for them, and the blood of Christ shed for me. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Of the people. In Jesus' name, O Lord, we dedicate this experience to your glory and honor. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 26, verses 36 through 42. It's in your bulletin. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Excuse me. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. God's will. How attuned are you to God's will? What do you know about God's will? Read the Bible. God's will is mentioned so often. Sometimes the writer assumes, or so it appears that he assumes, that we know what God's will is. So he talks about doing God's will, doing God's will. A confessional statement for Cumberland Presbyterians is, God's will for people and for all of creation is altogether wise and good. God's will is revealed in scriptures, but it's also revealed in the events of nature and history. But if you really want to know God's will, look at Jesus Christ. It's God's will is made known supremely, or at its best, in the person of Jesus Christ. And we just read about how he did God's will, even to death. Death on a cross. A criminal's death, but he was without crime. God's will is disclosed to people, or revealed to people, or made known to people, you and I, so that we may respond to his will in a variety of ways. One of them is worship. He desires that we come before him in worship, express his value or his worth among other people, to each other, but more importantly, to him. He wants us to do it corporately. Maybe so that we will understand or be reminded that we're not in the game alone, that we have people with us. We're not alone in our worship.
He wants us to respond in love. Because one of His attributes is He is love, and He loves us and calls upon us to love Him. And we can only love with His kind of love when we've experienced His love. He calls upon us to respond to Him or to His will in service. Various avenues of service. And that's what Becky is doing through Amelia's Attic. They're serving in a way that it takes a lot of money to get to where they're going and do what they're doing. And Jesus is everywhere in this country, I guess, you would say. Everywhere you look, but He's not everywhere where they're going. And the Grace Team, they go to places to be of service. Our friend Tommy Job went with another group this week to Mississippi. They're still going to work on places that Katrina destroyed. And we understand that it's to be God, it is God's will for us to go and help people in need. And some people will laugh at us. Well, why do y'all go? The insurance will take care of it, or blah, blah. Some people don't have insurance. The government will take care of it. Well, hopefully not. We can do it. And then there's a lot of mystery to God's will. You ever felt that way? If I only knew God's will. And we need to hold in reverence and great respect and with much wonder the mystery of God's will, knowing that we will never understand it fully, but being careful to do that part of His will that we do understand. And as we are able to comprehend more of His will, God will respond, will reveal more of His will that we might respond to that. Does that make sense? Could you follow that? We don't know it all. But as we do what we do know, He'll reveal a little bit more to us. It's like walking with a flashlight through the dark street or through the woods. Or an old coal oil lantern. Anybody ever done that in this group? One or two may have. But you can barely see one step. As you take that step, God reveals another. Or like driving your automobile down the road. You can't see the whole route as you leave home. Not even if you have a GPS. It just shows you so many steps ahead, right? But as you take that step, it shows you another one and another one. And God's will is something like that. As we do His will, something else is revealed to us. Another step that we can take. If you were going to preach on God's will, where would you start? If you were going to explain to somebody God's will, where would you start? And some of you I know are saying, as I made that, wrote that note down, I said, somebody's going to say, I ain't going to. But you may be called upon. You may be given the opportunity. Or somebody may demand of you, tell me one thing about God's will. Where would you start? The most important aspect of God's will that you could conjure up or could bring to mind. People often speak of God's will. Well, it must have been God's will. Especially when referring to situations over which they have no control. Death. We work and work and work to save people's life. If it's God's will for them to die, we've been working against His will every time we go and get a shot. Or whatever it is that we get. Surgery. Did we go against God's will when we had surgery performed or the doctor performed surgery? There's a lot of mystery about God's will, is there not?
We've already said that. That's just one illustration. 15 years ago, open and hard out. As Louis Grizzard says, they took that sucker out and stomped it flat. That's how he described his bypass surgery. Did I go against God's will? When somebody dies, is that God's will? Sometimes we say, well, it must have been God's will. Leslie Weatherhead was a preacher in England, or Britain, back in World War II, and he wrote Concerning God's Will, a little classic book, and I think Donna McCandlish brought this, if you remember Donna and Gordon. Donna brought me a little copy of that book years ago, and I lost it, and then I found another copy, and I'm reading it, and I lost it, though. Actually, I loaned it to Patrick Paul One, and found it in their... they finally found it in Patrick's office, but I had already ordered another book, and there's a kind of a revival of Leslie Weatherhead's book, The Will of God, and he's it's a study book now with a bunch of questions and answers. A bunch of questions, fill in the blanks at the end of it. Okay, Weatherhead spoke of three aspects of God's will. Said God's intentional will are what he had planned. Somebody used the phrase in the get-go or in the beginning. God had a plan for all of creation. And then Weatherhead talks about God's circumstantial will. Based on circumstances, God wills certain things. And people rebelled against God's will. People were not submissive to God's will. Just like us. Not submissive to God's will. I've been talking about you, Patrick, so okay. It was nice. They were not submissive to God's will. And the circumstances, sin got in the way. And so, based on circumstances, God has a will. And then God's ultimate will, kind of like going back to his intentional will, in the end, God's will win out. We can try to circumvent it. We can try to kick against it. But it's not going to work. It's to our detriment when we do that. When we go against God's will, or what God wants, or what God knows to be best. By God's intentional will, just let me say this, Weatherhead means what God wanted from when the world was created, or from the get-go. His circumstantial will, when evil or human response or chance events seem to thwart God's intentional will. Joseph was in Egypt, but he had been sold by his brothers as a slave, ended up in Egypt, and God used him, circumstances, and God used him to help the Israelites, give them a home, to keep them from starving to death when there was a famine back in the land of Canaan. And then by his ultimate will, God's ultimate will, in the end, God will win. And his will shall be accomplished totally and completely despite all of the circumstances that has come in between. And there's a guy named Scofield. There's a Scofield Bible that I have used off and on for 30 plus years. And he speaks of three aspects of God's will. He says God's sovereign will. He refers to Isaiah 46:9, like, remember the former things, God says to Isaiah. those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning. In the beginning, God made known what was going to happen in the end. And that's God's intentional will, according to Weather and Schofield, called it God's sovereign will. My purpose will stand, he says. Okay, and then he talks about the moral will of God, or the moral law. And whoever does God's will is my brothers and my sisters. That's what Jesus said. And then God's will is the desire of God coming from God's heart, which is a heart of love. And he just pours himself out for us, especially in the person of Jesus Christ. As I said, and let me say it again, there is much mystery concerning the will of God, but one thing is not mysterious. I want to get this in. That is, when people come up with an idea or a plan and ask God to approve it, and if it's not according to His will, He is not going to approve our plan. And I think of Proverbs, 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all of your ways acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct, or will direct, your path. And some of us just want to take that, God's going to direct my path. If I ask Him, He's going to bless it. Well, not always, if it's not according to His will. So we have to acknowledge Him. If we acknowledge Him, we will acknowledge His will. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust His way first. And lean not on your own understanding or your own ideas. In all of our ways or your ways, acknowledge Him, and then He shall direct our path. But no matter how outlandish some of our ideas are, people act like God has not previously thought about whatever it is that I'm proposing or they're proposing. But friends, there is nothing that God has not thought about. And much of it, it's been discounted. People keep bringing Him ideas. God, will You approve this? And He just discounts them all and says, We are to do His will and not try to get God to do our will. We're to do what God wants and not try to get God to do what we want. If it's anywhere, any way out of line with His will. In our scripture lesson, we see Jesus finding God's will difficult. And sometimes, many times, we discover that God's will, what God desires, is not easy. Or what God desires is very difficult. And we don't want to participate in it. And friends, Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to go through the streets of Jerusalem bearing a cross. He did not want to be jeered at. He did not want to be beaten and His flesh torn with the cat of nine tails. But He was willing to. Lord, Father, if any way, any other way to redeem these people, if there's any other way to redeem Larry Gewin, any other way to redeem Steve, can I use you, Steve Dornan? If there's any other way, Father, to redeem Roger Haywood, other than for me to die,
Lord, use it. Use it. But then he said, but Father, whatever you say. Whatever you say. Doing God's will is often difficult. Jesus saw the difficulty in it, but he still stuck with it. He says, I'm going to do it. Now, some would say, uh-uh, not me. Count me out. I'm not going to do it. In Jesus, God's will is made known supremely. Who did His will even to death. Where do we find God's will? Where do we find God's will in Scripture? Well, everything that God says is His will. So just start reading the Bible. And everything that God says is His will. His Word reveals to us His desire for us. A good place to start is the Ten Commandments. And most of us can quote three or four of them. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, if we need to go read them. Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus taught, expresses God's will or His desire. God is good. Big phrase going around, God is good all the time. What God wills is good. Sometimes God permits evil, even when people are. Sometimes God permits evil when people insist. If we insist on doing evil, He will permit it to happen. God even directs or sends some things that we see as bad to cause His wayward people to return to Him. And I think of the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity that God sent upon the Israelites was not because He wanted to be mean to them. He wanted to bring them back to Him. They had rebelled. They had turned their back on Him. They had quit listening to His will for them. Jesus' death. It's not that God wanted to be mean to Jesus, but He allowed Jesus' death to bring us back into fellowship with Him. To pay for the sin that separates us. Sin that we've committed that separates us from God. We'll say real quickly, John chapter 6, verse 38 and 39, Jesus tells us what God's will is. Specifically, what one aspect of God's will is. I have come down. Jesus is talking. And musicians, if you'll come. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And then in verse 39, John 6, verse 39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Jesus prayed about God's will. You see our lesson. Peter wrote about it. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing, or it's God's will that nobody will perish, but that all will come to repentance and salvation. All of these are about salvation. They're about heaven. They're letting us know that God wants us to spend eternity with Him and not with the devil. Can you say to God this morning about your salvation, have your own way, Lord, have your own way? The song is 371. Let's sing the first stanza and the second stanza. Just the first and the second stanza. 371. And maybe you would feel the need to come publicly to proclaim your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He can have His will in your life.
371.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the Potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Lord, we thank you this morning that you have a plan for us. And Lord, we thank you that you've revealed this most of that plan. And Lord, thank you for the hope that is ours, knowing that you sent Jesus to redeem us from sin. Help us to trust him, to follow him, that we might spend eternity with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be dismissed. Good to see all of you.